always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
4,000 square feet at the corner of a busy intersection of Tucker and Convention Center. This is the new home for the city's police bike unit. St. Louis City Police say this move into the new substation location is part of a larger plan to address the perception and reality of downtown safety. The move comes at zero cost to taxpayers, and the hope is to improve safety in the area.
This new location is set to open late this summer or early in the fall.
And welcome back to the Tim Jones and Chris Harp Show, 101.9 941 News Talk STL. Crime, law and order will definitely be one of the issues, Chris, front and center during the election year 2024 here in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, it's nice to see the police become proactive to try to patrol areas down by the St. Patrick Center, down by the murder gas station where we witnessed that murder last year on tape, to try to get a hold of it. Washington Avenue is a zoo on Friday, Saturday nights. It's good to see them be proactive. I hope it works.
Mm-hmm. Let's bring in our next guest to see what's on his platform and his plans if he's elected governor of the state of Missouri. The August 6th primary is right around the bend. He joins us once again here on the big program, Missouri State Senator Bill Igel at BillIgel.com. Senator, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us once again.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Mm-hmm. Bill, I'm sure you're hearing about issues of crime, about illegal immigration on the campaign trail. What are you hearing from Missourians, and what are you telling them that you would do if you were elected governor to lead on this issue?
Well, yeah, absolutely. We're hearing about crime. In fact, we've been hearing about crime, especially in our urban areas, for more than a generation. In fact, now not only do we have St. Louis City on one side of the state that's been leading the nation in violent crime for decades and decades, we now have Kansas City that's climbing up the rankings and is now in the top 25 for violent crime in America. Both of our urban areas are in the top 20 for violent crime. In the meantime, we know that the Democratic regimes in charge of these cities aren't going to do anything. That's been borne out year after year. They've tried defunding their police. They've tried massive policies of simply not putting bad guys in jail. The real question is, when are the Republicans who are in charge in Jefferson City, who are ultimately responsible for any of these local governments not wanting to do their job, when are they going to get involved? And I'll tell you, I've been pretty clear that under an Igel administration, one of the first things I'm going to do is I'm going to order the highway patrol into tripling their presence on the highways leading into and out of St. Louis City and Kansas City. They're using these highways as conduits of criminal activity. We actually had a specific task force set up to address the crime that's going on our highways and that's getting out into the suburban and rural areas back in 2017 before Mike Parson got into office. But when he came in office, he stepped back. He canceled that program. So we're going to be aggressive about putting law enforcement where crime is actually happening. Secondly, why don't we hold these local regimes accountable for just not putting bad guys in jail? Mm. Every year, the state is sending billions and billions of tax dollars to a whole bunch of projects down in St. Louis City that get spent on welfare programs or other boondoggles that Tashara Jones or Quentin Lucas thinks is a good idea. How about if they don't want to actually defend their citizens, why don't we just go ahead and not send them any more of our tax dollars? You want to get a local area's attention pretty quick? Threaten them where it hurts. That's the money.
Senator, Governor Parson announced today that he was going to slash some of the spending in the budget that was sent to him last May. I think it's safe to assume that some of those items that he's going to slash are items that are important to you and some of the other Freedom Caucus members. Your thoughts, sir?
Well, we never know what to expect from Mike Parson when it comes to the finances of this state. First of all, Mike Parson is the guy that on one hand has grown state spending more in the past 6 years of his administration than all the Democratic governors combined. So I've lost very quickly my faith or confidence that Mike Parson is ever going to be an actual sane fiscal steward for the state of Missouri. So let's go ahead and just throw that out the window right now. Now, you're right. He's always used his veto pen, not as a mechanism to actually instill more discipline in the state budget, but he's always used it as a punitive mechanism to punish those that he views as his political enemies. So guys like myself who have been pretty outspoken about his negligence when it comes to the finances, yep, he takes it out on the people that I represent, whether it's in St. Charles or elsewhere. So we're not going to see anything positive from Mike Parson. We're not going to see anything positive from this administration on the finances of the state. The government continues to be twice the size it was just a few years ago. That's not what the Republicans were promised. Under an Igel administration, we're going to cut the budget, starting with the budget we recommend, which will be 25% less or more than what Mike Parson has asked for. So he's not credible on this issue. The sooner we get him out of office, the sooner we can hope that we can actually restore some fiscal sanity. And maybe with the surpluses we'll achieve, maybe we'll cut the tax burden like income tax cuts and personal property tax cuts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Senator, what is the overall strategy for getting Missouri moving forward again? You know, I keep hearing this all the time from the liberals and the media. Hey, you Republicans you've been in charge now for approximately 22 years, and Missouri is just kind of in a middling state, right? Now, our suburban areas and our rural areas have definitely grown. I mean, look at your county of St. Charles. It's booming. Southwest Missouri doing well. But as we've just discussed, our urban areas and some of our suburban suburban core are being hollowed out because, unfortunately, they're largely governed by local left-wing progressive policies. Senator, I've said it's because we haven't been Republican enough. We still have a very high tax. Everybody thinks Missouri is a low tax state. It's not true at all, is it? We have a very high tax burden. When you put it all in, we have a very ridiculous personal property tax. Our income tax rate is still higher than many of our neighbors, even Illinois, because they have a flat tax that's a little bit lower than us. We're not a right-to-work state. There's a lot of things we haven't done, and we've almost squandered this Republican supermajority, haven't we?
Well, yeah, and like you said, Tim, the problem is that we really haven't had Republicans in charge for the past 22 years. We've had Democrats and rhinos in charge for 22 years. Of course, those are Republicans in name only, and I really don't. I don't know what else to call Republicans like Mike Parson and Lincoln Huff, that's the Senate Appropriations Chairman, who have doubled the size of government, who have put a tax burden on the people of this state that is twice what other states like Florida and Texas and Tennessee are paying. So guess what? Guess where all the economic activity is going because of the failed center-left policies of the Parson administration down in Jefferson City? Well, they're going to these other big red states. That's why we haven't gotten rid of personal property tax. That's why we haven't gotten rid of income tax. I'm simply saying that when I get in there with the help of the people of this state, we're going to get rid of personal property tax. We're going to get rid of income tax. We're actually going to start doing all the things that we actually talk about in campaign season. And the crazy thing is, as I've traveled the state, most Republicans are unconsciously aware of what's going on. Even if they can't point to the specific thing or put their finger on specific policies all the time, they know that we're not doing the big red things because they turn on their TV in the morning and they just see about all the great things happening in Texas or with a Ron DeSantis down in Florida. They want those things to happen here. And right now, our country is being won over by a guy by the name of Donald J. Trump, who is talking about being a disruptor and a breaker of the status quo in Washington, D.C. I just happen to think that's exactly what we need in Jefferson City. And if we get that person, not only are we going to be an excellent partner to Donald J. Trump, as we disrupt the status quo in Jefferson City, Missouri is going to be a leader in this country. You want to start seeing Missouri growing? You want to start seeing more employees available to be hired by our small business owners that are so desperate for help? We've got to start implementing the policies that have made those other states successful. They don't have personal property tax. They don't have income tax. Missouri needs to get rid of those as well. We just got too many rhinos down in Jefferson City that won't let us get there.
Senator, yesterday the state of Missouri executed David Hozier, who was convicted of killing a former lover and her husband. This was the 10th person that has been executed under Governor Parson's tenure. I know each individual case is unique, but can you see yourself ever granting a condemned inmate clemency?
It's possible. I take each of those cases seriously. In fact, I've already called for a pardon of Kansas City Police Officer Eric DeBalconiere for a crime that he is sitting in jail for right now that I believe was absolutely an unjust verdict that was handed down by a court in the midst of the George Floyd era. So there are absolutely instances where the governor of the state may need to intervene. And of course, we'll take those as they come. I've already made a commitment actually to pardon, Officer DeValconeran in my first week of office. So yeah, I think that we would take a look at that, but don't mistake that to mean that we're going to be soft on any of these criminals that have committed violent crime. They're going to go through the process and they're going to pay for the crimes that they commit. So I think that I'd like to see a more aggressive approach to law enforcement in this state, especially in our urban areas. So maybe we can prevent some of these crimes from happening in the first place, and we won't have this question about the death penalty quite as much as we do right now.
Speaking to Missouri State Senator Bill Eigel, he is candidate. He's one of the candidates for governor here in the state of Missouri. That election, folks, right around the bend, barely 50 some odd days away on Tuesday, August the 6th. He's at Bill Eigel on Twitter. Senator, you know, for all of the folks who have complained about some of the aspects of the Freedom Caucus, when you look at the bills that were passed this last legislative session, there weren't a ton of them, but weren't there some key ones that had been bottled up in the pipeline for years? I'm thinking defunding Planned Parenthood, the anti-ranked choice voting bill. The good things that did get across the finish line were actually all Freedom Caucus priorities, and the things that died probably needed to die the death they did, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the Freedom Caucus was out there securing spending cuts to the budget. It was the first time that we saw spending cuts to the annual budget, even though it still remains a mess. We've never been able to secure spending cuts before we did that, and that was courtesy of the Freedom Caucus, of course. A lot of the bad bills that would have just expanded government even further, even when they were being proposed by Republicans, it was the Freedom Caucus that was there on the front lines defending our freedom, defending our liberties. And yeah, you know, I have this theory that the only people that are actually complaining about the Freedom Caucus standing in the way of these bad bills and derailing bad legislation and getting the few victories that we have are the insiders in Jefferson City that want the status quo to remain exactly what it is. So if you hear somebody out there and they're worried about, well, you know, I don't know if these Freedom Caucus guys are being too mean to the other insiders in Jefferson City, rest assured, we're not going to good cop our way to prosperity down in Jefferson City, because the status quo doesn't want to let go of power. They want to have the same Missouri that we have right now, with the go-along, get-along mentality, where nothing changes and we continue to stagnate and just meander our way along, falling and trailing behind the other states. Because in that environment, it's easier for them to just build their grip off the tax dollars that they're now getting at a record amount. We're not going to do that. We're going to be bold about the initiatives that we want to push. You can bet I'm going to be getting up early in the morning to kick over some apple cards to the powerful down at Jefferson City when I'm their governor. And I'm not going to apologize for it, because I don't work for all those insiders in Jefferson City. I will work for the people of the state, and I'm ready to take the bullets and slings and arrows on behalf of every single one of the 6 million people that live in the Show Me State.
Senator, before we close out here, let's go on the political front. I've been in politics for a long time, and I don't think I've ever seen a battle of Missouri ethics complaints between campaigns. Not saying your campaign is involved with it or the other campaigns, but there's been ethics complaints filed against Jay Ashcroft. There's been ethics complaints filed against your campaign as well, but no ethics complaints filed against Lieutenant Governor Kehoe so far. Your thoughts on this process?
Yeah, I've seen these ethics complaints. They're silly. They're nonsense. They're being filed by some of the biggest well-known supporters of my opponents. In fact, I think supporters of Governor Kehoe filed both of the ethics complaints against the secretary and myself. And I think this really just indicates that Mike Kehoe has nothing to talk about. He has nothing to talk about the vision for a better Missouri and what it looks moving forward. He's trying to get caught up in these political games of pointing the finger at somebody else. And really, it's just a distraction that he's been the most liberal Republican statewide office holder we've had, right up there alongside of Mike Parson in our state history. That's why he's been voting for big tax increases. That's why he's been voting for more government. And he knows that if people talk about that, he doesn't stand any chance of being governor. So, of course, he's going to try to distract. He's going to try to cast shadows on his opponents. I just think that I'd like to keep the conversation about where we want to go with Missouri. I'm talking about Missouri where we're deporting illegals. I'm talking about a Missouri where we're going to get rid of personal property tax. I'm talking about a Missouri where we're going to protect Missouri farmland. And I know, and the people of the state know, that they can't compete in that conversation because they have no vision for the future. So I'm not going to be distracted. Life is good. Let's go, Missouri.
Senator, before we let you go, what can you tell us about the state of the race from everything you've seen and heard and what you're seeing on the ground? And how can folks find out more about your campaign?
Well, we're really seeing the message of my opponents come unraveled, because the only message they've had against me for the past 2 years is that this idea that, oh, gosh, Bill Eichel can't win because he doesn't have enough name ID, or he doesn't have enough money from the special interest in his bank account. But the reality is, we just got polling. We've gotten two polls now in the past 2 weeks that have shown me closing the gap, which started by more than 40 points 2 years ago. It's down to single digits and almost inside the margin of error. Those guys, the Secretary Ashcroft and Mike Keough, they know they're losing. That's why they're doing, whether it's these MEC reports or doing anything to avoid talking about the issues, they know they're losing. We're going to win on August 6th. BillEichel.com. Check it out.
Here we go. Senator Bill Eichel at BillEichel.com, at Bill Eichel on Twitter. Senator, thanks so much. Good luck on the campaign trail. Stay safe and well.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.